Father, we commit this meeting into your gracious hand. We pray that you will open our eyes and give us spiritual understanding to know what is in your word.
Amen.
We pray that your presence will be with us tonight.
Amen.
And may the Holy Spirit move within each heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, everybody here? Yeah, I hope so, but it's okay. I think we will start our meeting. Let's take a look. 7 to 9, okay, it's 7:30 right now. Okay, I don't think my fellowship tonight will be very long. Many of us are tired. We are going to share on a very special topic and burden of the Lord this weekend. It is not just a topic or a portion of the Bible we want to talk about. What we want to share in this weekend, I do believe, is something very much in God's heart. And so it is not just for us to know. I think the mosquitoes want to have fellowship too. A different kind of fellowship. But, sorry? I got a sticker. For the mosquitoes. And the topic tonight, or this whole weekend, is the true worshipers in the New Testament age. The true worshipers. Now, this is very much based upon what the Lord has spoken 2,000 years ago. In John chapter, wow, this is a big mosquito. John chapter 4, let's turn to John chapter 4. I believe many of us have read these verses, but unfortunately we just, most of the time, read past it. John chapter 4 is talking about the Lord's talk with a Samaritan woman, right? Lorraine, you should know this chapter very well, right? Everybody knows this chapter. But you know, the Lord's conversation, his conversation with anyone is never just an ordinary conversation. Whenever the Lord spoke, his speaking has very deep and wonderful significance, always revealing what is in the Father's heart. Right? Many times when we speak about a lot of things and different things which has not very important meaning, right? Tonight you were all sitting on a table eating dinner, right? What was your conversation about? About the weather, maybe it's too hot. So hot. Mosquitoes, oh my, so many mosquitoes. And about Filipino food. Right? What did you talk about, Brian, tonight? You see, he didn't even remember what he said. Because many times when we held a conversation, it's just for a social engagement there, but not with our Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever the Lord opened his mouth, something very important regarding God's will come out of his mouth. So in this wonderful conversation with a Samaritan woman, First of all, the Lord was asking for water to drink because the Lord was thirsty. And this Samaritan woman told the Lord Jesus, "Hey, I'm a Samaritan woman and you're a Jew. Why would you ask me for water to drink?" Because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have anything to do with one another. The Lord did not wait. The Lord right away spoke something very important. If you know who I am, of course, he's the Son of the living God, right? Then you will ask me to give you the living water to drink. Why? The Lord was asking for water, H2O. Then the Lord told the Samaritan woman, because the Samaritan woman says, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. Don't ask me to give you water, right? Then the Lord immediately told her, if you ask me, I will give you living water, the water of life. And if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Well, look, what a wonderful conversation, right? Many times in preaching the gospel, you waited so long and you're still a little bit concerned to share about the gospel, right? So after half an hour, you still didn't come to the point. In just a couple of sentences, the Lord came to the point and says, ask of me and I will give you living water. And if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. And this water will become in you a fountain of water of life. Okay, that was the first wonderful and important point that the Lord told this woman. Then the conversation went on further. The Lord asked another question. Oh, go and call your husband to come. The woman said, oh, I have no husband. And the Lord told her, see, every time the Lord talked to people, he was helping this woman and he was opening up this woman. And he told this woman, you said it correctly, because you already had how many? Five husbands. And the one that now you have is the sixth, and he is not your husband. So you were right. You have no husband, because you already had five, and they're all gone. Perhaps divorced. And the present one was not even your husband. My, the Samaritan woman was surprised. Oh. And of course, embarrassed as well. Because the Lord's light is shining into her to cause her to turn to God. Then she said, oh, I perceive you are a prophet. All of a sudden, the woman started to change the conversation. Oh, I see you're a prophet. Now let's come to read this point, which is a very, very important point that we want to share, right? John chapter 4, verse 17. Okay, let's read verse 19, beginning in verse 19. Maybe we can read it in English together. Okay, slowly, right, so that you can follow the reading. Okay, please go. You notice that some read reality, because it should actually be Greek word for truth, also means reality. Now, this conversation is very important for us. And in this chapter, the Lord tells us that God our Father is seeking for the true worshipers. When you talk about worship, right, everybody talks about worship. In many groups, Christian groups, they talk about worship. How do they worship? Yeah, you can see it outside that says Sunday morning worship, right? Sunday morning worship. So what do they do in a Sunday morning worship? Benson.
Sing.
And then? What else? Pray a little prayer. Oh, well, the pastor prays, right? Mainly. That's one prayer. And then?
Message.
A message. And after the message? Maybe a choir. Maybe a choir would sing. And then pass the hat around, money, donations. And then the pastor will bless you. And then you go home. Right, Mercy? Something like that, right? Something like that. I think most of the groups will do that. Now, do you believe that is the true worship to the Father? Think about it. Do you think that's the true worship? Now, Benson, you were in such a group before, right? Are you happy with such a group? Are you satisfied? No. How about you, Mercy? Are you happy? No. Now, if you as a so-called worshiper was not happy, do you think our God and our Father is happy? You ask yourself this question. Don't just go to a meeting, sit there and go home, and every week you do the same thing. And how about you, Grace? Right. We need to really ask this question. Is that the true worship? Is that the kind of worship that our God and Father desires? Right? So, I hope that in these few meetings after fellowshipping concerning the matter of the true worship, we will realize how to be a true worshiper. Okay, that's very important. Don't just come what do? We break bread, sing a few songs, and after that, sharings concerning the Bible. And it all depends on who is sharing. Sometimes we all didn't receive anything. But even if you receive something, do you think the Father is happy? Does the Father need my message? Tell me, when you give a message, who do you give it to? To the Father? You give a message once in a while, right? Sometimes, right? Who do you give the message to? To the angels? No. Well, you don't even know who you give the message to. To the saints. Yes, of course. I know. I'm just trying to help the saints realize that a message is for them. What about the Father? What does the Father get? Are we coming to the meeting for the Father, or are we coming to the meeting for the saints? Lorraine, when you come to the meeting, why do you come? Are you sure? Not just because of tonight's message. Oh, the message is worshiping the Father. Strictly speaking, the church life, the meeting is not for us. It's mainly for the Father. Because the church is the house of the living God. Church is God's house. Meaning is not the physical building, because God does not dwell in buildings made by hands. Definitely not. According to the Bible, each one of us is a living stone. You are a living stone. I'm a living stone. And we must be built up together into a spiritual house. God's house. God's house is something spiritual. Don't think, oh, the cathedral there, the meeting hall there, and that hall there, that's God's house. No. After you go home, who is going to live there? You think God is going to stay there by himself, alone, in a cold building, all lights out, nothing, no air con in Manila? Ah, how about that? Would you like to live there? Would you? Then why do you think God would live there? You have to change your concepts. Definitely you have to change your concept. Now, the church, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, is the house of the living God. He is living. Our God is living. Right. It is the Father's house. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, right? My Father's house. Right. So, the church life must really be for the Father. Not for you and not for me. Many times we come to the meeting just for ourselves. Right. Do you come to the meeting for yourself? Or are you for God? For God? Okay, I agree. But, there's a big but. So what do you do for God in the meeting? You said you come here for God. Great. Now tell me, what did you bring for God?
You have to prepare the offering.
Ah, you went through this. Okay, you have to bring the offerings, what, money? You think God needs your Filipino pesos, money? What do you come to the meeting with? Most of the people just come there, sit for 1.5 hours and go home and did nothing. So if you said you are for God, the meeting is for God, you're coming here for God, then you tell me what you do for God. What do you do in a meeting? You know, the reason why I'm asking tonight is to stir up your heart and your mind to consider and think about it. Because you've been doing this for ages. Many of us have been Christians for I don't know how many years. I think one time I talked to Mercy. Mercy told me for so many years she went to the meeting and finally she already wanted to give up. She didn't get anything. But okay, if you don't get anything, what about the Father? What does he get? Even less than you. Tonight, through the simple fellowship, I hope the Holy Spirit will stir up our heart to give us a realization. What were we doing all these years as Christians? Are we the true worshipers? Now, according to the word worship, if you look up the dictionary, it means to fall down and prostrate yourself before God, like the Muslims. Right? Bye bye. 中国人说拜拜，你是拜啊，敬拜嘛，拜。中国人很喜欢拜哦，什么都拜哦，乱拜啊，随便拜，拜拜。啊，这是 worship。Sentimentally, maybe, emotionally, maybe, and just sitting there and meditate. Right. Have you ever looked into the Bible to see what the word worship means for a father? Now, let me tell you tonight in simple terms, according to the Bible, for worship, God says, number one, you need to go to the right place. So, you need to have the right place. You know, the woman says, we worship in this mountain, but you, Jews, says, you worship in Jerusalem. And the Lord says, that's right. Because you, the Samaritans, you don't know who you're even worshiping. If you worship, you better know him, right? You better know this God. So, number one is the right place. So, what is the right place? Jerusalem. According to Deuteronomy, let us go here. Take a look at the outline. How many meetings do we have? 8, right? Right. A, let's take a look at the outline, A. You know, when you go back to your room, you can open your Bible and read it yourself. Right? Jerusalem, the unique place chosen by the Lord among the 12 tribes. Yeah. It's the place of God's choice. Now, if you read, maybe, Johann, you can read choice. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. For us. Yeah. This is God's requirement. Amen. There you shall go. Right? Now, before that, read verse 1 to 5. Yeah, okay, read it.
These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe.
Observe.
In the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess. Mm-hmm. All the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods.
Mm-hmm. You shall destroy the way and the places which the nations serve their gods. Right.
On the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree, and you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. Mm-hmm. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things.
Right.
But you shall seek the place.
The place.
Where the Lord your God chooses. Mm-hmm. Out of all your tribes, to put his name for his dwelling place.
Amen.
And there you shall go.
Amen. There you shall go. Continue. And then?
There you shall take your burnt offering.
Burnt offerings. You bring your burnt offerings.
Your sacrifices. Your tithes.
The heave offerings.
Your vowed offerings.
Mm.
Your free will offerings.
Amen.
And the firstborn of your herds and flocks.
Mm.
And there you shall eat before the Lord your God.
You shall eat before the Lord your God.
And you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you.
Amen.
You shall not at all do as
everyone is right in his own eyes. Thank you. That's good enough. This is God's requirement. At that time, the Gentiles, they have each one their own places, whatever they want to do, because they have their own God, their own idols. So each one has their own choice. Right? Now the Lord told his people, when you enter into the good land, you should not do whatever they are doing. You should destroy every places where the nations worship their idols. Don't learn from them. And you shall not do everyone according to your choice, what is right in your own eyes. So God chose only one place, which is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is very important. The right place. Today, we, the Christians, how many places do we go? How many so-called churches are there in Metro Manila? Tell me. Have you ever counted?
Too many to count.
Do you think that is according to the Bible, scriptural? I got it. Thank you. Where do you go? What is the principle of Jerusalem? The principle of Jerusalem is that it must be God's choice and not your choice. And among the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, there are so many tribes, right, from northern part to southern part of Israel, God chose only one place for the 12 tribes. Only one place, Jerusalem. Because God did not want his people to be divided. No, God, we have one God. That's the first commandment. Hear, Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall have no other gods before me. Right? Oneness is very, very important. You know, if you go on to read John 17, the Lord prayed a marvelous prayer before he died on a cross, before he went to the cross. What did he pray? That they all may be one. Do you think it is a glory for God's people to fight and divide and could not agree and everybody doing their own thing? This is not God's way. If you know the living God, you will know that oneness is very important for our God, because God is one God. So Jerusalem, number one, is a place chosen by God, and it is a place for the oneness of God's people. Right. Oh, great, you got it. Right. We need to all get rid of the spiritual mosquitoes that cause so much trouble among God's people. Biting here and biting there and sucking blood and right. But be careful when you hit the mosquitoes, you don't hit your neighbor's head. This is what happened, you know. So much fighting against among God's people. So many divisions. Right? You have to realize Jerusalem is a place of oneness. I'm going to write it down. Oneness. Don't think the oneness is not important. Oneness is very important. I'm just going to read with some of you a few verses. Let's go to John 17, please. Let's go to John 17. Yeah. John, do you have it? Read it for us, yeah. All right, starting maybe in verse 20 is good enough. 20 to 22, yeah.
I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word.
Yes.
That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us.
Amen. Amen.
And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one.
Amen. Yep. That's right. This is the Lord's Prayer. That they all may be one. You know, it's not a very simple thing to be one. And to be one in such a way, just like the Lord and the Father are one. The Son and the Father are one. It's not just any kind of oneness. It's not just one because we have the same interest. No. Or we have the same view. No. Oh, I've seen people with the same view and they change their views. Then what happened? But the Lord's Prayer is for us to be one as He and the Father are one. Now tell me, did the Lord ever argue with the Father? Did the Lord says, Father, no, your view is not right, my view is better. No. When you read the Bible, the oneness between the Lord and the Father is a marvelous oneness. And the Lord says, our oneness must be like their oneness. The oneness of the triune God. So if you don't know God and you're not enjoying the living God, you don't live this wonderful Christ. You can never practice that kind of oneness. And if you don't, then sooner or later we'll be fighting. It's a matter of time. One day you now have your own interest. Ah, that's a problem now. Forget it. Goodbye. I don't agree with you anymore. Right? So you can really see it's the oneness of Jerusalem is a very special oneness. It's absolutely God's choice. The more you know this wonderful God, the more you can be one with one another. It's not just even doctrines, but it is this wonderful oneness of life between the Father and the Son. No? Now, let us just read John chapter 10, since we are already in the Gospel of John, verse 31. Maybe somebody who has it may read it. John 10, verse 31. The Lord said, I and my Father are one. Not one person, but one in everything. Whatever the Father wants, the Son does. Right? Everything that the Son is doing is exactly what God wants Him to do. This is the kind of oneness the Lord really wants. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. 以弗所书第四章. Let's go back. What did Paul say here? Can you read it, brother? Read it to us, yeah?
Which verse?
Let's start with the beginning. 1 to 6.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness,
amen,
long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling.
One Lord. faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over
all and through all and
in you all. Thank you. This is what Paul, in a very simple way, clearly told us, right? And he said, this is a way to walk worthy of our calling. God called us to build up his church, the body of Christ. And here, in an NIV version, it says, make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Every effort. Through the bond of peace, we shall have peace. Remember, Jerusalem is called the city of peace. The city of peace. It's impossible if God is there that we'll be fighting each other. It's not possible. So here you can really see Paul is telling the church in Ephesus, endeavor, do your best. Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit. It's called the oneness of the Spirit because, A, you can be one in many different ways. Right? Okay, we are good friends, so you're one with me. Is that the oneness of the Spirit? No. It may be the oneness of the flesh because you like to go bowling every Sunday, so I go bowling with you. Oh, we are one. Your oneness is a bowling oneness. One day I lost interest. Forget it. I don't want to go bowling anymore. I want to go play basketball. So, you go there and I go here. I hope I can show you that our oneness is the oneness produced by the Holy Spirit. If I am not in my spirit, you are not in your spirit, then it is not possible for us to be one. No. Suppose here we are three elders. Suppose, are we one or not? Oh, it's my son-in-law is here. Brother here, Schubert. I know him very well. And here, you know me too, right? Of course he knows me. Now, how do we practice our oneness? What do you think, John? No. I'm your father-in-law, remember that. You listen to me. You listen to me. And besides, I'm older than you. So you have to listen to me. If you both listen to me, we're one, right? Isn't that good? We're one?
No, it's not good enough.
Not good enough? Why not? We're one. At least we're not quarreling. Okay, suppose even later we don't quarrel. Suppose even later, 10 years later, we still don't quarrel. But you know, this is not the oneness of the Spirit. This is the oneness of your father-in-law.
Yeah.
It's not good enough. It's not good enough. What if I were wrong? No. You don't have problem. You should listen to me. I'm older and I'm your father-in-law. No. You better respect me. How about you? Don't you have respect for an older brother with white hair? Look at that.
But we have respect for the Heavenly Father.
If you do that, you cause division, brother. Then we are no more one. So, what kind of oneness are we keeping? And that is always a problem. Among the elders, four of us here, I'm the bishop. It's very strange. Because according to the Bible, bishop and the elders, they're all the same. Bishop is their office, elder is their person. Just like an eye is the organ and seeing is the function. You cannot make seeing higher than the organ, than the eye, right? Is seeing much higher than your eye? It's ridiculous to make a difference. The person, that's why it's called elder, presbyter, just meaning to say he's older, or he used to be older, not just by age, but spiritually. And the bishop is a Greek word, talking about his function, overseeing. But people make a bishop higher than the elders. So you elders must listen to the bishop. That's already rotten. No. Right. And this is always a problem. Ah, 习惯了. All four of us elders, you listen to me because you've been listening to me all the time. So even if I were wrong, you just take it for granted I'm all right. And you dare not say anything. So at the end, you all agree with me. And that kind of agreement is not the oneness of the Spirit. To keep the oneness does not mean that I agree with him even if he were wrong. We all must agree with the living God, with the Lord. If I were not right, John, you should tell me, sorry, I cannot follow you. I cannot take that. Not because I don't respect you, but it's not wrong. You're right. There's somebody higher than all of us. It's not easy to keep the oneness. Really not easy to keep the oneness. Don't think it is easy. You have to be in spirit. I have to be in the spirit. If I'm not in the Spirit, you are not in the Spirit. There's no way for us to keep oneness. Then we can keep another kind of oneness. But Paul did not say, just keep the oneness. So, learn to see that our oneness is not just any kind of oneness. Remember, Jerusalem is God's choice. So the oneness must be God's oneness, not human oneness. Right? So he is above all. So you see, there is one Spirit, one Lord, one God and Father. This is really marvelous. This is wonderful. So our oneness is the oneness of the triune God. If it is not of God, if it is of men, we must learn to say no. No. Right. So may the Lord really open our eyes. This, we are dealing with Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Right? Remember, there's one condition. Number one is to have the right place. The place of real oneness. Now, what about number two? Number two is what? You need to bring the offerings with you. You need to bring the offerings. That means you cannot come empty-handed. The Lord told his people, when you come, you should not come empty-handed. Now I have written a place, a verse here, where? In Deuteronomy. Right? Oh, I'm Chinese, English. Right. B3, right? Page 5 in English. Page 4, oh no, I'm sorry. Page 6 in Chinese, right? You should not come empty-handed. You should bring your offerings, your sacrifices. Right. So, the offerings are very important. In brief, the offering is Christ. The reality of all the offerings. 不可以空所来。 You cannot come empty-handed, Grace. I don't mean come with your purse. That's not what I meant. That's not what God meant. But you should come with a real experience of Christ as the offerings. So, in the Old Testament days, they need to bring a burnt offering, sin offering, trespass offering, peace offering. And you have to bring a meal offering. And with a peace offering, part of it is a wave offering, part of it is heave offering. You need to know all of these in its spiritual meaning so that you can enjoy Christ as the reality of all these offerings. This is very important. So, the second point is to bring the offerings. So, you all need to read Leviticus chapters 1 to 7. Many times, you need to read it many times to really get yourself familiar with all these chapters, the requirements of God, because all those offerings, the five main offerings, they are a description of what Christ is to you and me, to all of us. For you to experience and for you to prepare to bring to God. Now, the third point is what? Is the occasion. When do you come? The occasions, right? I will call it the occasions. The feasts. Three times a year, God's people must come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, when? You cannot just say, I'll come anytime I like. No. Hi, Alfonso. Three times a year you have to come. So, God has appointed the different occasions, the different feasts for you to come to Jerusalem to worship. Right? So this three times a year, you have seven feasts altogether. Later on you can see you have the feast of Passover, you have the feast of unleavened bread, you have the feast of the first fruits. That's three in one. These three feasts are very close together. And then 50 days later, you have the feast of the Pentecost. And then in the 7 months, you have the feast of the trumpet and the feast of the reconciliation or atonement. And then you have the feast of the tabernacles. So this will be the occasions or the time appointed by God for all of his people three times a year to come to Jerusalem to worship. Okay? So you have the feasts. So we have to know these feasts. Then number four. What do you think the last point I'm going to mention about? Which is the most important point? Oh, you can say the priesthood. Okay. It's not yet a priesthood. I almost forget about a priesthood, but we'll write down the priesthood. The priesthood. You're right. You're right, the priesthood. Because without a priesthood, who is going to do the offerings? right? The priesthood. So, remember in the New Testament, each and every one of us should be a priest. So are you a priest, Grace? What do you do when you're a priest? Okay. Every Sunday you all heard Grace, right? You all heard her every Sunday. You let me know if she brings an offering or not. You're right. The priesthood is very, very important. The priesthood. It's really marvelous. It's really wonderful. And then, of course, now, thanks for reminding me. The last point is the Father. God, our Father. He is the object of our worship. We come to worship Him to satisfy His heart's desire. Right? So, Christ is the offerings, but the Father is the object of our worship. He's the object of worship. So in order to have the proper worship, you need to know the proper place, you need to bring the proper offerings, and then you should come to keep the feast and to be the priesthood. And you need to know we are worshiping the Father. You know, it didn't say God. It says Father. Remember what we read in John? Who is seeking the worship? Oh, God seeks such. The Lord did not say, oh, I am seeking such to worship me. Did the Lord say that? What did He say? The Father seeks such to worship Him. You know, many of us are so conscious of the Lord Jesus, right? So when you pray, what do you pray? Lord Jesus, right? Lord Jesus. Lord, Lord this, Lord that, Lord this, Lord that. What about the Father? Abba, Father. So, tonight, I just want you all to see this. One, two, three, four, five. This five very important point for us to become the true worshipers. You need to know all this. Otherwise, you're not a true worshiper. You think joining a choir is worship? Oh, the heavenly choir, the angels, they are a better choir, I think. I haven't heard them sing, but I'm sure they sang better. You think God just wants to listen to a concert? A church concert? That's not a worship. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't sing anymore, right? Please, we enjoy singing. But singing is not a worship. People thought singing is a worship. No, the Father said, you bring me offerings. Because the offering is His food. What does it say is His food? Oh, come on. It's in the outline. Number four, so you read Leviticus chapter 3, 21, 11 and 21. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 11, 21, 6, 8, 17, Numbers 28, verse 2. Read it yourself.
这些祭物是神的食物。 你说神还需要食物啊? 他要吃什么? 他要吃你带来的祭物，就是耶稣基督当作这些祭物。
Maybe nobody ever told you God needs some food, right? So grace, next Sunday, you need to cook something for God. Okay? Bring a burnt offering, bring a meal offering, bring a peace offering. You need to prepare. If you don't prepare, you will not have it. If you do not give yourself daily to experience Christ, as all of these offerings later on will get into it, then you'll have nothing to bring for God. Then you will come empty-handed. And if you come empty-handed, then God will have nothing. 空手而来啊, 不是讲道理的, 是要带基督的实际, 你所经历的, 那些器物, 来献上给神。 This is very important, right? And then you have to know all the feasts in the Bible. You know, you come to the Lord's table every Sunday. Do you know that the Lord's table is the culmination of all the seven feasts together? The Feast of the Unleavened Bread. 无酵饼节. Unleavened Bread. Meaning to say that you're enjoying the wonderful humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ without leaven, and 7 days you have to keep that feast to get rid of all the leaven. Not even a little bit should be found in your home. So, are you getting rid of the leaven that is in your life? 有没有除掉那个酵啊? 恶毒了, right? Malice, evil, sinfulness. Flesh, religion, there's a lot of religious concepts. The Lord warned his disciples concerning the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And hypocrisy, the leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of Herod. So you have all kinds of leaven, worldly leaven, sinful leaven, religious leaven. Are you keeping the feast? Are you not keeping the feast? Keeping the feast of unleavened bread. How about that? Right? So we need maybe one meeting to talk about the feasts. Okay? The year-end conference in Fountain Valley, the brothers requested for me to talk about the feast. So, Mercy, you're going to be there, right? Right. The feasts, it's very important. If you're not keeping a feast, then you're not a true worshiper. So, the feast is very important. Now, the priesthood. Wow. Are you a priest? Or are you a businessman? In your father's house, earthly father's house, you're a businessman. But in the heavenly father's house, you're a priest. So what are you? Both. Right? So, don't say, oh, only brother so-and-so, he is a priest. I am not. Oh, don't say that. It is your privilege, the privilege of all the brothers and sisters, to be a priest who knows how to handle and prepare the offerings. If you don't learn and you're just learning doctrine, you're not practicing the reality of it, then you'll have nothing to bring. So the priesthood is very important. You know, very strange. If you want to be an engineer, I don't know, what are you? Have you finished your studies? Yeah? What did you study?
Business management.
You think it's easy?
To study or to do business?
Both. Study. Is it easy to study?
No.
You minister after you finish, then you can immediately be a manager. Is it easy to be a manager? No, it's even worse. When you study, you don't have much responsibility, but when you start working, then you have heavy responsibilities. Right? You're going to be a doctor soon, right? You think it's easy? What if the patient dies? It's a responsibility. That's why I'm glad I'm not one. Right? You need to know. And if being a businessman or a manager or a doctor or whatever you are, an accountant, it's not easy, right? You think it's easy to be a priest of God? And Peter says to be a holy priesthood. You don't learn holiness in a Bible school. You learn Bible doctrines, teaching. Wow, you learn all that. But they will not teach you how to be holy. Who can teach you to be holy? The indwelling Spirit in you will teach you how to be holy. So, 彼得前书第二章说, 我们成为一个圣洁的祭司。 你不圣, 不能够做祭司, 就没有资格做祭司。 Right. To be a holy priest. Did not God say, be ye holy because I am holy? God said. So where did God learn holiness? In some schools? The very nature of God is holy. So to be a priesthood, we better all begin to learn. And first of all, by knowing that God wants you to be a priest unto Him. Somebody read to me Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. Yeah. You all need to memorize these verses, right? Yeah. You got it, John?
Yeah.
Okay, please.
And as made as kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, read beginning verse 5 first. And Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, the faithful witness.
Amen.
Firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Period.
No comma.
Period.
No comma.
No period.
Always a comma.
You mean to say there's more than just salvation? You're already saved, you're a son of God, you are a Christian now, so what else do you want to be?
It says, and has made us kings and priests.
Made us to be kings and priests. Have anyone told you God wants you to be a king? With him to rule? And to be a priest of God? Don't you want to be? How about you? You just want to be a doctor? And has made us to be doctors and accountants. Oh, what is your ministry? Oh, my ministry. God called me to be a doctor. Oh, God called me to be a garbage collector. God called me to be a cook. I heard this. What is your ministry? A cook. So you better read then. And he has saved us from our sins by his own precious blood and has made me to be a cook. And a doctor. Oh, maybe a doctor is better than a cook, no? Sorry, Lorraine, when the Lord comes back, he doesn't need doctors anymore. Your profession will be over. But mine will remain. I'm a priest, hallelujah. You'll be jobless. Jobless. So what do you want to be? How about you, a manager in your father's business? Oh. So you better start being a priest today. Priest of God. Right. A priest living before the presence of God. And this is the privilege of a priest. To enter into the Holy of Holies, to really live in a fellowship with Him, to be in His presence. This is too wonderful. You know, John, you were in Ezekiel conference, right? In a temple. In Jerusalem, when the Lord comes back in the millennial kingdom, you see the temple. I don't think many people appreciate that because they don't know what I'm talking about, unfortunately. You know, because they don't have this concept. The most wonderful thing in that whole place, the temple in Jerusalem, is to be the priest that can go near to God. Nobody else could do it. The Levites were not faithful. God says they shall not come near to me, but a priest, the son. So you all have to realize this. The priesthood is very important. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the last but not the least, the Father is the object of our worship. If you tell the Lord, Lord, I worship you, it's okay to worship Him because He's also God. But He will tell you there is someone greater than I. It's the Father. The Father. Where is it written when the Lord says, the Father is greater than I? For years, I have known all these points separately. And I've shared much about it before and learned to practice. But there was no consciousness of the offerings being exclusively for God. That is why we even had a song that says, Lord, Thou art all our offerings prepared by God for us. That is wrong. It should be the other way around, prepared by us for God. It'll be terrible to sing that song, Lord, Thou art all our offering prepared by God for us. That's why at that time, in the midst of the meeting, I said, stop, stop. This is wrong. We cannot sing that. Change it. Can you imagine just a change of position of those two words makes the whole world of difference. But if you don't see it, if you don't understand, if we don't have a vision, then we'll be singing a song that is definitely not acceptable by the father will shake his head. No. It's not prepared by me for you. It should be prepared by you for me. So may the Lord open our eyes. The Father is the object of our worship. The Lord Jesus himself said, "The hour is coming and now is that a true worshiper shall worship who?" The Lord did not say, "Shall worship me." Although it is not wrong to worship him because he is also God, but he will tell you, "No, you worship my Father." And why the Father? Because God wants to be your Father. The second person of the Godhead became a man to be like you and me. Right? So you have to realize that God's purpose is to make us sons of God. Are you one of them? What? Are you a daughter? Are you a daughter? Humanly speaking, are you? So that means you must have a father. Right? Do you know your father? Ah. Once a week for 1 hour. How often do you know your father? Do you get together with your father? Every day you love to talk to him? Really? You too? How did you know your father? By books? Which book? Give me a book so that I can also know your father. Which book? Is there a book about your father? Then how do you know your father? Spend time with him. How often do you spend time with your father? If tonight I ask you a question, please stand up and tell me about our Heavenly Father. What can you tell me? Ah, my Heavenly Father. Let me think about it. Give me a few minutes, okay? I'll think about it. If I ask you to tell me about your father, oh, you have a lot of things to tell me about your father. I know. I'm your father's brother. I also have a lot of things to talk about him. But how come if you call him father, but you don't know him? It's impossible. This is why religion is just something outward. No relationship. Our God is our Father. Right? How's your relationship with your Father? Just one thumb? He said, even one thumb is not enough. How's your relationship with the Heavenly Father? Now, if you don't know the Father, how are you going to worship him? Are you worshiping an unknown God like the Samaritan? You don't know who you are worshiping, the Lord told the Samaritan. You don't know who you're worshiping. Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question tonight. Do you know who you are worshiping? You know the Father that well? Do you have such a fellowship with him all the time you are being with the Father? And I'm not talking about being with the Father as a little baby. I'm talking about being with the Father as a grown-up son. Because a baby doesn't know the Father except, you know, give me something to eat, or give me something to drink, or give me some money. You know, when the Lord Jesus was 12 years old, he was about his Father's business. Right, Greta? Have you read? His earthly mother was looking for him and found him in Jerusalem talking, wow, to the chief priests, to the elders, to the Pharisees, scribes. Talking about what? About my Father's business. When we were 12 years old, and today you're going to... You're having fellowship with your smartphone. Oh, not even when you're 12, you're 14, you're 15. Oh my goodness, even if you're 52, you're going like this. I'm not talking about our relationship to a father like a little boy who doesn't know what his father's business is and doesn't know what his father is doing. The Lord knew very well what his father was doing because he came here to do the Father's will. Now, are we doing the Father's will? Do you know what the Father wants? No. So worship is not just bowing your head and just thinking, amen, and then go home. This is not worship. So now, in order to worship tonight, I'm giving you a worshiping package. Okay? This is called a worshiping package. WP. So that we will all become the true worshipers. VP, worshiping package. Because in order to be a true worshiper, we need all of these wonderful factors in the Bible. Amen. Are you all clear? 清楚了吗? Clara, 清楚了? 你们都清楚了，这个是完完全全照着圣经神的话给我们看见的。旧约是这样，新约也是如此。So in the Old Testament times you need this, in the New Testament age you also have a spiritual heavenly counterpart. Exactly the same. We'll see that tomorrow morning. Okay. Don't think, that's just with the Jews in the Old Testament times. No, you are greatly mistaken if you think that. These are a wonderful types to show us how to worship in the New Testament age. Except in the New Testament age, we are practicing the reality. In the Old Testament age, that's shadow. But in the New Testament age, we need the reality of the worship to be the true worshipers. Amen. Now you can all go to bed tonight and dream about it. Consider, think about it. Don't take it just as a doctrine. You have to have a desire to be a true worshiper. If you don't care, then don't worry about it. Right.
So why even come here if you don't care, right?
Okay, praise the Lord. All right, I'll see you in the morning. And have a good night rest. Have some prayers, right? 我们有点祷告, huh?